Good morning. We'll call this meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. The time is 12:48 p.m. Members present at this time, Representative Vance, Representative Kreis-Tompkins, Representative Ortiz, Speaker Stutes, and myself, Representative Tarr. Please let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. We know that Representative McCabe is on his way and Representative Story is in another committee at this time. We'd ask members to please silence their cell phones. If you need to pass a note, please see the committee aide, Mr. Brower. Special thank you to Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Madison Truitt from the Juneau LIO for their support. We just have one item on the agenda today, House Bill 188, and this is continuing. This is our third hearing on this, the continuation of our hearing from the other day. And we had been largely focused on answering questions about the impacts of the additions of pollock and cod to this salmon and herring value added tax credit program. We did receive a letter from the Department of Revenue, and hopefully members had a chance to see that and don't need me to read that into the record. But I will just say the second part here, they talked to about the questions received. The second question was a more definitive estimate of foregone revenue if the credit were expanded. So it says the department is not able to provide a more definitive estimate of the credit if the credit were to expand to pollock and cod equipments, besides what is stated in the fiscal note, and then discussed how they had done that as they shared with us in that meeting. So just wanted to share that part on the record. Ms. Perman, I don't know if you have anything you'd like to share as we get started, any opening comments, or Speaker Stutes, as it is your bill.
No, I'm perfectly happy.
Through the chair, I similarly don't have a whole lot to add past our conversation the other day. I think if anybody just needs a quick reminder, it's just really to expand the language of the current seafood tax credit program to cod and pollock, and also extend the sunset date on this out to 2025.
So. Okay, thank you. And just for members' attention, welcome to Representative McCabe. Thank you so much for your flexibility with our delayed start and then getting here as quickly as possible. Really, really appreciate that. Online, we do have Nicole Kimball from the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, Julianne Curry from Icicle Seafoods, and Nicole Reynolds, the Deputy Director with the Tax Division, all available for questions. Are there any committee comments before we start the amendment process? Okay, then we did receive one amendment. This is from Representative Kreis-Tompkins. Everyone should have a copy of it, 32-LS0867/A.2. Representative Kreis-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm offer a conceptual amendment to this upon moving it, but I move amendment number one.
I will object for discussion.
Thank you. And if I may, owing to a conversation with Ms. Perman and other stakeholders, I'd like to conceptually amend, amendment number one. I will move conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one to delete line nine in amendment number one.
I'll object for the purpose of discussion.
And if I may, Madam Chair, mm-hmm. So the rationale there is that there's some potential ambiguity with different floating processors that are just kind of stationed in one place, and for many intents and purposes are shoreside processors, and we don't want them to be treated any differently than the shoreside processors that would otherwise be claiming these credits. So the intent of conceptual amendment number one is to avoid any of that potential ambiguity for what processors are eligible to claim credits.
I'll withdraw my amendment. I mean, my objection, sorry.
Is there any other objection to conceptual amendment number one on amendment number one?
I object for a purpose of a question.
Okay. Representative Vance.
Just for an explanation of how you came to the amount of the $4.5 million, if you could just clarify that.
Oh, and Representative Vance, we haven't quite gotten there yet. This was just on conceptual amendment number one, which was the deletion of line nine.
My apologies.
Okay, no problem. So it sounds like
my objection.
Thank you. So seeing no further objection, conceptual amendment number one has been adopted. That deletes line nine on amendment number one. which brings the underlying amendment before us. I have objected for discussion, so Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I can speak to Representative Vance's question too. And the purpose of the underlying amendment is that it just seems like a bit of a black box in terms of we don't really know industry. I don't think has a great sense, nor does Department of Revenue in terms of what the magnitude of credits claimed might be. And so the idea and the number described in the amendment is on the upper end of the fiscal note as projected for what the potential revenue impacts are going to be. And I mean, I think Department of Revenue is doing the best they can with available data, but just to sort of put a ceiling there. So it's not a, blank check and, next thing we know, this thing is expanded by a factor of three, contrary to what any of us were expecting. So if we need to revisit it or change it down the road because this is massively successful or having the desired impacts, great. But just to have some process and sideboards.
Thank you. That answers your question, Representative Vance. Okay, Representative Ortiz has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the maker of the amendment. Can you speak a little bit more about how you arrived at the $4.5 million number? What information did you have which caused you to arrive at that particular number?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair. So looking at the fiscal note, there's, we're at 3.4 and 4.2 in FY 23 and 24, peaks out at 5 in FY 26, drops down to 3.8 in FY 27. So this is just sort of pegging a number that's close to the higher end of the fiscal note, given what DOR is projecting.
Thank you very much.
I have a question, Representative Christ-Tompkins. So the way I should read this is just that this then limits the total use of that to the $4.5 million in a single year, not an individual taxpayer, but the total program then is limited to that.
Representative Tart or Chair Tart, that's correct. That's the intent and also, I believe, the effect of the amendment.
Okay. Does anyone want to hear? We do have Nicole Kimball, Pacific Seafood Processors Association, Julian Curry, Icicle Seafoods, Nicole Reynolds, Deputy Director, TAC Division, DOR, and Mark Palmer, the CEO of OBI Seafoods. Anybody have a question or like to hear from them? I believe it was Mr. Palmer, if he's available, the other day that sort of talked about, and actually it was Mr. Barrows from Pacific Seafood Processors was talking about the report that showed sort of the effectiveness of the salmon and herring program and how it added, these value-added products overall added value. And so it sounded like that's what we should think about in the context of this particular opportunity. And I just wonder, Mr. Palmer, if we put this $4.5 million limit, do you think that would constrain interest in the additional species being added?
Through the chair, the activity on most of these new species in the tax credits will happen in the first 2 years. I think if the goal was over the five-year duration of the bill to have a total limit, I think 4.5 is going to limit activity in the first 2 years. I think that's where you're going to see most people wanting to redeem that. And if it is capped at 4.5, and we exceeded that expenditure, would we be able to carry that over for a credit in the following year? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Representative Christ-Tompkins?
Madam Chair, my understanding of the program from reading, although Ms. Perman or another testifier may know better, is that presently in law, I believe credits can be carried forward. But if DOR is online or someone has a more authoritative understanding, by all means.
Ms. Reynolds, if you're available and heard the question, we'd sure appreciate some feedback.
Good afternoon. This is Nicole Reynolds with the Department of Revenue Tax Division. And through the chair, under current law, AS 43-75-035-D, the unused credits from prior years can be carried forward for 3 years.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any follow-up for Ms. Reynolds? Well, that helps with my understanding. Does anybody have any questions, again, for these individuals available for questions online? Representative Vance.
Yes, one follow-up is if the 4.5 may hinder, you know, the activity in the first couple of years, what is the recommended dollar figure that for us to consider?
Do you want me to direct that to Mr. Palmer since he made that statement? Mr. Palmer, did you hear the question?
Well, I guess I would give you an example. If someone wanted to install a meal and oil plant, you know, to capture the byproduct because they were going to further process cotter pollock, as an example, the cost of one meal plant, a small one, can run $4 or $5 million for, and that could be for one company. So I think that if the first 2 years, there was a $10 million cap, I think that would be much more workable for the first 2 years. Thank you.
Any follow-up?
I just defer to the maker of the amendment in what he's comfortable with. And, you know, the whole intent is this legislation is to make sure that we have a return on investment and are making sure that we have that multiplier effect in the community but are not losing on the state side, if I'm understanding correctly. And so, again, I defer to the maker of the amendment and his comfort level. Obviously has researched this more than I have.
Thank you, Representative Vance. And if I could squeeze a question in here, I guess just hearing that then, Ms. Reynolds, do you have any comment on the fiscal note then, sort of projections? Does that sound like, from what you're hearing, does it sound like the fiscal note may have been a little low?
Nicole Reynolds, Department of Revenue, Tax Division. I'm not sure who asked the question, but through the chair, the department's model, you know, there's built-in uncertainty because we just don't have the data available to be able to provide a more definitive estimate. So it could be that the estimate is low, you know, but that being said, my understanding of what this amendment is proposing is that a credit claimed by a taxpayer in an amount that exceeds $4.5 million in a single year. So the amendment looks like it's talking about a single taxpayer being able to claim more than $4.5 million in a single year in this credit. Historical ranges of the total credit that has been claimed in tax years 2015 through 2019, and I'm looking at the Department of Revenue's indirect expenditure report, has ranged from just under $1 million per year up to $4.5 million per year, and that's the total credit claimed by all taxpayers. So, you know, whether or not a single taxpayer is going to be claiming a credit of $4.5 million or more, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Our model that we use to model this bill did not, anticipate that a single taxpayer would be claiming that amount of a credit.
Thank you, Ms. Reynolds. I just received a note from my staff saying the same thing. So I think my original question where I'd said is $4.5 million supposed to be then the cumulative amount may have been more your intent, but it's written now as the single taxpayer. So under that circumstance, it seems like probably would be very generous and no issue at all. as the amendment sponsor, do you want to weigh in? Because I thought I might ask for feedback from our other invited testifiers as well.
Sure, Madam Chair. No, I think you're right. And just coming to that realization and the sort of fog of war of the last week, I don't think this amendment is written in a way that achieves the intent. So I, on one hand, I don't think this would constrain anybody from collecting as many tax credits as they want. On the other hand, I think it would, the difficulty here is, like, nobody really seems to know, like, how much money this is going to cost with the new species, because we don't have historical data to rely on. And, you know, we just heard, like, a new cottonmill plant could be $10 million. But, like, that blows the fiscal, and that's just, like, one. So, I don't know. If there's four that get built, like, boom, you know, that's $40 million, $20 million in credits. So I have sort of, with tax credits, a lot of PTSD with oil tax credits on the North Slope, and just the state accruing incredible liabilities or foregone revenues in a way that I don't think were, you know, they were set up in, you know, with the best of intentions, but then, you know, the program sort of unfolded in a way that was, you know, really complicated. I don't think, this amendment isn't going to do anything about that, and, you know, maybe the next committee of referral can dig into this. And like, the tricky part is, like, you know, salmon and herring, which we do know about, like, I want to get that done and taken care of ASAP. It's just this kind of, you know, black box. We don't really have any data for pollock and cod. So there's some comments.
Do you want us to consider the amendment number one? Do you want to still consider amendment number one?
I think I'll withdraw amendment number one at this time, just given the drafting mishap. I think important to get these considerations on the record.
Thank you, Representative Chris Tompkins. Amendment number one has been withdrawn at this time. Representative Ortiz. While we have folks on the line, and we just will do this very quickly, Nicole Kimball, because if we try to work on this in the next committee of referral, what I'm just thinking is maybe there's some information we can gather today that would help inform us. So Mr. Palmer was talking about sort of could be a $10 million investment, and, you know, the way the bill's written in the first year, right, it's 100% credit. Nicole, do you have anything you can offer in terms of what kind of investments might be made in years one and years two with this addition of pollock and cod?
Sure. This is Nicole Kimball from Pacific Seafood Processors Association. I actually think, you know, Mr. Palmer gave a really good example, right? It's trying to find any equipment that will do additional protein extraction and make the most that you can out of one fish. So meal and oil, fish oil, you know, those are hugely, you know, great products that would otherwise be waste. And so what I heard him say is, you know, that could be $4 to $5 million for a meal plant for our company. I think that's a very legitimate, you know, statement and estimate for that. I think there's other, you know, pollock fillet lines and different other cod value-added product lines that are, you know, much less than $4 to $5 million in terms of an investment. And of course, these are investments that are, you know, one-time investments, so you get to one-time take that tax credit. So I think, you know, what Mr. Palmer provided was kind of like the upper end of what a company might do. And I hope that's helpful. And given the discussion about uncertainty around pollock and cod, I think, you know, the best approach to that methodology is likely what Department of Revenue already did, where you look at the amount in the past of, you know, basically the excess value coming from those two species, and estimating a rate at which the tax credit would be, you know, people would take advantage of that. And you could do something similar to salmon and then apply it to that excess value to get your best estimate of what this might look like in terms of the fiscal note in the future. My understanding is that's what was done, and I think that's appropriate. I'd be glad to answer any other questions if I could help.
Thank you. And let me just correct what I just stated. It's 50%, not 100%. I want to correct myself there because I said that on the record. Thank you, Ms. Kimball. Any questions for Ms. Kimball? Okay. And then Ms. Curry, if you have anything, Ms. Curry from Icicle Seafoods.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think Ms. Kimball hit the nail right on the head there, and, you know, it's really important to note that this bill is extremely important to our industry. Just to clarify, for Icicle Seafoods, we have a shore-based operation that operates in the Dutch Harbor area. We are extremely dependent on both cod and pollock, and we also have a floating processor that operates in the Dutch Harbor area. So, you know, anything that this committee can do to help further this bill along, and just keeping in mind, you know, that we are going to be looking to purchase some additional equipment to upgrade our value-added product line through this tax credit in order to be able to not only increase our own revenue, but mainly to increase the revenue to our independent harvesters, you know, who live and work around the area. And we're really proud to be able to partner with them and be able to increase the value of Alaska seafood and really help the state economy and all of our efforts. So I seriously doubt that we would be looking to build a $10 million meal plant anytime in the next couple of years, but we would be looking to upgrade our equipment and to further utilize that waste stream. So just appreciate having this hearing today. I appreciate having this discussion, and I'm here if you guys need any questions.
Thank you so much, Ms. Curry. Appreciate that. Any questions? Okay, that brings the bill back before us. One consideration would be like a reporting requirement. Of course, we can always request that. So we should all make note that next year we need to see the fiscal impact if this bill passes of what happened for evaluation. And so we don't have any surprises. But I think that's one thing I had considered, but I wasn't sure what your amendment was going to do. So I didn't do a reporting requirement amendment. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Representative Christ Tompkins.
Madam Chair, I mean, I think a reporting requirement would presumably happen anyway through revenue sources book, or I mean, if things aren't getting reported, that's a real problem just in general. But I think the whole idea is, you know, on the front end that there's just some sideboards and not, you know, a blank check per se. And, you know, on one hand, you know, per Ms. Kimball's testimony, that, you know, the fiscal note is the best, you know, guide we have for what the potential impacts are, then there, you know, shouldn't be a problem with having an amendment that puts some kind of ceiling or sideboard on what the upper end of the fiscal note is going to be. I'm just not sure there's total alignment that, I'm good, you know, leaving it to the, I guess this finance committee is the next committee referral. So,
yes.
And we have some carryover there. So, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that is super helpful then. And Representative Ortiz, hopefully we can rely on working with you to address this if needed.
Absolutely, Madam Chair.
Okay,
absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Any other comments, thoughts, questions?
I just have one comment.
Representative Stutes.
I really appreciate this committee and you, Madam Chair, coming in on a Saturday, because this is a very important piece of legislation to the industry, and I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to come in on a Saturday. And again, I want to thank the committee and thank you, Madam Chair, for facilitating this.
Of course. Okay, well, if there aren't any further questions on this, then I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I would be happy to make that motion. I move House Bill 188, labeled 32-LS0867/A, with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations from committee.
Seeing no objection, House Bill 188 will move from committee, and Thatcher is bringing around the paperwork, and that looks like even folks might have time to eat before we go to the floor, which is great. We do have a meeting scheduled on Tuesday to continue the hearing on Representative Vance's House Bill 52, the Tutka Bay Hatchery. Of course, considering the uncertainty of the schedule, we will, of course, be in touch and appreciate everyone's flexibility with being able to continue this meeting over today. Is there any other business to come before the committee?
Curious if everybody got this from Seabridge Gold.
Oh, yes.
We have angered the Canadians.
Representative McCabe is, continue. I should have recognized you.
Sorry. Perhaps we should at least get their side of the story if there is a way to invite them to testify. I know that we've sent a letter. Has that gone already?
Representative Ortiz.
Sorry, I'm sort of free for all in here today. I'm a little tired, sorry.
Could you reference a little bit further what your... I'm not sure I've seen the letter, so...
Transboundary mine issue.
Oh, okay. I may have, you know, there's lots of things happening here in the last 24 hours.
Right.
But in any case, so what was your question, Madam Chair?
What is it called again?
Seabridge Gold.
Seabridge Gold sent us a massive package yesterday, and it's a giant document, and it's in response to issues on transboundary mines and our meeting.
Okay.
And then I think Representative McCabe was asking if the letter that you had done as a sign-on letter might have been sent yet.
I believe it has. Yes, it has.
Okay, excellent. And then it sounds like your suggestion is if we do have opportunity for another meeting, possibly trying to arrange. And we can, as interim, you know, when we're transitioning in the special session, we can still have meetings, not on bills, of course, but on a topic like this would be totally appropriate.
I might suggest that, Madam Chair, that we do something like that because we have one side of the story,
mm-hmm.
And oftentimes those get very emotional. And I think that if we are going to be intelligent fisheries, you know, stewards of the fisheries, we need to have both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. So it would be helpful, if nothing else, then to get the information that the mining companies put out there and everything else. So they are very mad, as you could probably tell. And so we should invite them in to give us a presentation. That was a big book and a whole bunch of sticks for computers. And, yeah, mm-hmm. So... I think it would behoove us to be intelligent on the whole issue. So,
yes, thank you, Representative McCabe. I'm not going to say I wasn't disappointed. It wasn't some amazing care package from someone, but just a giant document. The other topic is the in-stream water flow reservations. There's been a request for hearing on that. So those two items, I think, would be very appropriate as we will still have time together. And so we will absolutely seek suggestions on, you know, who you might like to see for that committee hearing. But then our only other bill at this time is your bill on Tuesday. We do have bills previously heard or scheduled if there's something else. But otherwise, that will probably be our last meeting, and hopefully we'll wrap up all of our bill work, and then we'll be able to focus our mental energy on some of these other topics that we need to learn more about. Okay, thank you so much, everyone. It's 1:15 p.m., and this meeting is adjourned.
I saw that box.